Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's find out what's happening with your San Diego Padres.
That's a fair ball. Call fair over the bag at first base.
It's time to go inside the clubhouse on Friar Friday, right here on Gwynn and Chris, on your home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.
And it is Friar Fridays, and that means time to visit with Padre player. And today we are just so fortunate to have with us the reliever of the month in the National League, Mr. Kirby Yates. First of all, sir, mahalo for the time.
Well, mahalo for the introduction.
Hey, very well done. Now that we got that out of the way, congratulations on that award. I'm sure you're the first thing you want to do is let all your teammates in on it, because you know darn well that you can't win that without everybody doing what they have to do to set you up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as much as I get the recognition for the award, it's not really my award. I'd say it's more our award. You know, saves mean wins, and that's probably a huge reason why I got the award. I got a lot of saves, and I don't get those saves if it's not for them.
Kirby, I have to ask you about the other night. You make a pitch to plate. Francisco Mejia comes up out of the crowd and puts a BB, and everybody was just fascinated with the throw, it being right in the slide path and perfect throw and all. But I don't think very many people knows how much your life was at risk there.
Yeah.
That ball went by your ear. I mean, man, half a ball to your left, we are having a different conversation right now. We might not be having a conversation right now. Did you notice? Did you feel it go by your ear?
I had no clue. No clue.
Wow.
I just turned around and saw the throw and, like, couldn't believe that. I'd never seen anything like that. I mean,
amazing.
The throw was right on the money. Thought I was going to hit the grass, you know, and short hop Kinsler, and he caught it right at his knee, and I was like, whoa, that's an absolute cannon. But, yeah, flirting with death. I don't know. Next time I need to hit the deck, I guess. But I thought I kind of timed it up right, where I could kind of, like, poke my head up, you know, and miss the throw. But I don't know what I was doing. But
yeah, because you were in good shape until the last moment. Then you poked your head up, like
yeah,
you said. And then the ball just happened to be there right at that moment.
I was kind of waiting for them to run. It looked like, you know, I was like, all right, they might run here and kind of take a chance. I'm like, go ahead. I don't know if you guys seen
this guy's arm.
Yet, but good luck with that. And sure enough, they went. And he threw an absolute laser beam down the second base. And it was awesome.
Yeah, it was one of the best throws as anybody's ever seen. Kirby Yates is with us, SDCCU Fan Hotline, Friar Fridays, and I just wanted to ask you a little bit about working with Darren Balsley. The more I think about it, the more I notice it, the more I go back through the years and see all the pitchers who've had so much great success under his tutelage, and I wonder what it is, because you played with several organizations, several coaches, what it is about Darren that maybe sets him apart from some of the other guys you've worked under as pitching coaches.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think he's afraid to coach guys at this level. I think some pitching coaches, you get to the major leagues and they don't want to put their hands on you because they're like, hey, you got to the big leagues doing it your way, you know, you should just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
The hard part with that is you fall. It's baseball. You play every day. It's really easy to fall into bad habits and stuff like that. And I think the great thing about Darren is he's not afraid to coach. He makes sure that he's coaching you, and he's always on top of it and watching you and, you know, making sure that you stay out of those bad habits. And anytime you have a question or you're like, hey, you know, Darren, I feel like I'm doing this, and he's, like, right there on top of you. He always has an answer, and the answer's it's amazing of the way the words that he uses to kind of get through to you and, you know, get you back on top of the ball or whatever it is. It's different than, you know, other people have told me in the past, but it makes total sense every time he says it.
His attention to detail is crazy, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I mean, he doesn't miss anything, and, you know, he can break down a delivery with the best of them, but he doesn't like to get mechanical.
Right.
So, like, that's the great thing about him. Learning how to pitch and pitch selection is something that, you know, he's taught me, and I pick his brain nonstop about it. And the way he can dissect at bats and hitters is, you know, second to none.
Kirby, I know you've mentioned that, or we spoke a little bit earlier about the Reliever of the Month award and how it's a team achievement. But for you personally, considering your path to get to this point, what does it mean to you personally?
I think it's cool. You know, it's probably the only award I've ever won in the big leagues. So. I think that's cool. But, you know, on the other hand...
You have plenty of room for it on the shelf? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. You know, I got a wide-open room, if you want to call it. But, you know, on the other hand, it is April, and there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to get an award at the end of the year, and I think that's something that you look back and you'll be extremely proud of.
Well, you're certainly off to a great start. It's been fabulous to watch you pitch. I just wanted to ask you, and I hope it's not out of line to ask, because you've been through so many organizations who've basically have given up on you or not given you the opportunity. And I wonder, did you ever get close to thinking maybe it's just not meant to be for me to make it into the major leagues? Or was that a thought that never crossed your mind?
No, absolutely. I think right before I got claimed here, when I got designated by Anaheim, it was kind of like, all right, this, you know, it's either I'm going to have to grind my way just to be, you know, kind of that 4A player, or not knowing what to do, even, you know, mentioning Japan, where I might be going overseas. And, you know, that opportunity was starting to present itself and looking like a, you know, something that I might have to do. And fortunately, I get claimed by the Padres, and, you know, I get off to a hot start, and, you know, here I am a few years later, and, you know, extremely blessed and fortunate for the opportunity that they gave me. And, you know, it's kind of hard to put in words, but here we are. And, you know, we got a really good ball club this year, and it's been a lot of fun.
One more before we let you get out of here, Kirby. We know you got to get started on your day. Everything that we see on TV, you know, when they get into the dugouts, you guys really seem like you guys enjoy each other's company. What is it about this particular team that may be different from other teams you've been on?
I think as a collective group, we all enjoy having fun. And we all kind of put, you know, our first step forward into kind of make it fun on a daily basis. And I think it's neat because it's not just one or two people. I mean, we got the whole team. You know, the whole team wants to have fun. Their whole team's doing their part to have fun. And on top of that, I think we're all having even more fun when we win.
Right.
And I think we love that feeling, and I think we want to keep that feeling going, obviously. And basically, you know, we're a month into this, and I think we're starting to find our personality a little bit more and more every day. So, and I think it's a blast. I'm enjoying being a part of it.
Kirby Yates, multi-award winner now. Next time you win an award, we can call you that.
Yeah.
Congratulations on Reliever of the Month. Thanks so much for joining us on Fryer Fridays. Love having you on, and great watching you pitch all year long the last couple of years. And I hope that there's many more awards to come.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it for having me on.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, another guy who's pretty smart is going to be in the other dugout tonight, and we really appreciate him spending a few moments with us on the program. Mr. Dave Roberts, the manager of the National League champion, Los Angeles Dodgers, here with Gwynn and Chris on 97.3. Doc, how you doing?
Hey, fellas, I'm doing well. Just got done catching up with Randy Jones and a couple other former pods back home. I'm doing well. Good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, and I was even saying before, you're probably one of the very few guys that can walk into this stadium wearing Dodger blue and still have people like you. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a great feeling. It really is.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. No, you know what? This is home. This is home, and I think that, you know, when I was representing this organization, I think I did it the right way. And so the fans, the ushers, and everybody in the stadium ops and all that stuff, I think they appreciate it. And we're friends for life. So it's still good to compete, though, no doubt.
Doc, before we get into any of this Padre Dodger matchup, I got to ask you how Cole's doing. I know he's in his senior year in San Diego baseball. He's headed to Loyola Marymount. How's his year going?
You know what? Thank you, Gwinnie. He's actually playing right now against Classical Academy in Escondido. That's it. They got a good squad, and so they're actually. Got two regular season games left. He's having a really good year, can really play shortstop, and then the playoffs start. So he's in a good place. I haven't got a chance to see many games, but the quality of baseball around here, the high school baseball, man, it's really, really, really good baseball player. It's fun to see.
Okay, so we got it out the way. Let's get into this first Dodger question, and I'm sure you've been getting crushed with Cody Bellinger questions, so I'm not going to start there. I'm going to start with Clayton Kershaw because the last couple years we've seen the velocity slip, and you know there were some concerns going into this year, especially when he got to spring training and his elbow or shoulder was barking. But he's had three starts and has looked, minus the velocity, has looked just like the old Clayton Kershaw, in my opinion. What do you think about the start he's had? Were you concerned at all during spring training?
Well, I think. A little bit. I think that, you know, when you have an off season and you come into spring training a few weeks into spring, then you hear of a balky shoulder. I think that is never a good thing. But Clayton sort of assured us that it wasn't a big deal and wanted to kind of take care of it. And that's what he did, and to his credit, the training staff. And so to get a little bit of an abbreviated start to the season, which we did, but the way he's throwing the baseball right now has been really fun to watch. And I think that there's been a lot of talk on the velocity dip, but his command with the fastball is still very good. And with the fastball, slider, curveball mix, can sequence and keep hitters off balance, work them front to back, and in and out and all that good stuff. So he's in a good spot, and every time he takes the mound, we feel good.
Doc, you're kind of scaring everybody in baseball with the way you guys have started this year. I mean, at least the last 2 years you gave everybody a head start because you got off to a slow start and then wound up in the World Series anyway. This year you guys are off and rolling. What's the difference of the way this team played in April this year as opposed to the last couple of years? Was there kind of a price put on getting off to a better start?
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't think that. I think that every year every club wants to get off to a good start, and I really wish I had an answer so that I would have kind of done that the last couple of years. But, we're just kind of, as a group, we're really not even playing that great, I think, for me, in my opinion. I think there's parts of it that are good, parts that need to get better and continue to clean up. But we got a talented group, very unselfish team. And, we're kind of where we need to be, but I still think there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that we can get better.
Dodger manager Dave Roberts joins us here on the SDCCU fan hotline. Dave, during spring, one of the other issues that was going on around you guys' organization during the offseason was there was a lot of talk about the platooning and guys not getting the at-bats they wanted. Came spring training, you pretty much issued a challenge to guys. If you wanted to play every day, you're going to have to produce against lefties and righties. And the one guy that's stepped up to the fold in a big way is Cody Bellinger. I mean, watching his at-bats over this first month or so has been very, very impressive. What is it that you're seeing from him that he's really improved on from last year to this year?
Well, I think that the thing with Cody, the best thing about him is just the way he's prepared each day. It's very professional, very businesslike, from the cage to the conversations that he's had with the hitting coaches, with his teammates, to when he takes the field for batting practice. It's a very focused work, and that is leading to swinging at balls, taking balls and swinging at strikes. And now when you take a guy that's in the zone, and you know the great Ted Williams, get a good pitch to hit, and that's what he's doing. And so when they're not throwing in the strike zone, he takes his walks and his on base is out of control. I mean, the slug is off the charts and all that stuff. So I don't like to talk about how we're going to project those numbers, and I know Cody doesn't either, but I think that the consistency is going to be there, the production will be there, and he rose to the challenge. And like you said, Gwinnie, I think that this is, and I know that this is a performance-based business, and when you get opportunity, you still got to perform. So, as far as the platooning, guys get opportunities, and, and I just believe this, Gwinnie, is that the players make the lineup. You go out there and you perform, then you'll be in the lineup.
I like that. That's the way it should be, right? Dave Roberts is with us. One last thing for me, Dave. Appreciate your time very, very much. I know that you got a lot of things to take care of before the game. Actually, we're going to try to keep you for a couple of hours here so that you can have your regular routine.
I hear you, man. I need a routine, too.
That's right. But just talk a little. You already kind of touched on it, but just coming to San Diego for a big weekend series, which really hasn't been the case the last, you know, few years, and certainly while you've been Dodger manager, coming in here and knowing that there's going to be three sold out crowds here, a place that you grew up, but your team and its preparation coming into a series like this, I mean, you guys are used to big time series like this one, so I think I imagine everybody's really looking forward to it.
No, I think we are. I think everyone loves coming down here. It's such a great ballpark. The gas lamp, what they did, the city obviously is my favorite. And to look at this club who's kind of got a facelift, you know, and unfortunately we can't see Tatis, who is going to be great for this game and such a special young player. We've watched him on TV and obviously getting Manny down here. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I know the fans are jacked and, you know, you hear it all over the radio and the fans and all the Padre gear. So it's a great time for the Padres organization, City of San Diego. So, yeah, we're used to it. We're looking forward to it. And we know we're going to get their best tonight.
Dave, I got to ask you another question before we let you get out of here. Kike Hernandez, he's got an opportunity to play a lot of second base. I think he has the ability to be a gold glover over at that position.
Sure.
And he started off swinging the bat pretty decent, too. Talk a little bit about him and what your expectations are from Kike.
Well, Kike, I think that you nailed it as far as potential to win a gold glove. I just, you know, with him and Baez, Javi Baez out there, I think those are the two best for me. Obviously, Javi Baez has been playing a lot of short this year so far. But Kike, he's a baseball player, Gwinnie. He thinks the game, talks the game, really smart. The acumen is off the charts. And now his at-bat quality versus right, versus left has been very consistent. And so now he's doing everything he can to my point earlier, as the players make the lineup, to keep him in the lineup. And so now it just seems like every single day he does something to help you win a baseball game. So whether it's getting a walk, turning a double play, keeping a ball in the infield, hitting a homer, whatever it takes. So I'm very excited to watch how he's grown as a big league ball player.
Dave, very nice of you to come into enemy territory and join us here this afternoon. But like I said, you're about the only guy that I can think of that makes it difficult to dislike the Dodgers. So best of luck.
Chris,
best of luck starting. Best of luck starting Monday, and we'll hopefully enjoy a great weekend series. So thank you.
Thanks, Doc.
Fair enough. All right, Quinn, you're the man. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
There he was, Dave, Doc Roberts right there, the manager of the Dodgers, on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Reader's Poll daily at sdccu.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's waste no time. Let's get right into it. Tomas.
Number five.
You're coming off a perfect performance yesterday, right?
Woo. I was. Big Five wasn't bad yesterday.
Your nose is growing, Chris.
Big Five wasn't bad yesterday. This, though, pains me to say, but I have finally accepted that the Giants need to trade Madison Bumgarner this season. The rumor mill is buzzing on where and when he will go, but I was reading this morning that it's almost a lock he will be moved by the trade deadline. He's not having his best year so far this year with a 1-4 record. and a 3.92 ERA, but an anonymous baseball executive was quoted in this article saying he'll have action just based on his playoff success and experience. Mad Bum is 8-3 with a 2.11 ERA and 16 postseason appearances, with 14 of those being starts. Tony, do you think the Giants can get top for him based on his playoff experience alone?
Maybe. It's going to depend on the team. You know, veterans aren't going for what they used to go for. So,
yeah, he's ancient now. He's 31 years old.
If his old age of 31 in this day and age, I'm not so sure they can get top dollar for, or I should say, top return in a trade for Madison Bumgarner. It's going to take, obviously, a team that is in desperate need of starting rotation in order to get it, or a team that is just that one piece, one starting pitcher away from taking it all the way to the World Series. So it's a possibility. I think it's less likely than it would have been maybe 5-7 years ago. But nevertheless, the Giants will get a good return no matter what.
Chris?
Yeah, first of all, definitely accept that it's going to happen, Scraby. Not only is he going to be moved, but Will Smith is going to be traded out of that bullpen, and probably two or three other guys.
Wait, Will Smith plays for the Giants now?
Yeah, the closer
for
the Giants. The closer, yeah.
Left-handed pitcher.
Not
Will
the fresh
Smith.
Prince of Bel Air.
I don't know. He could do everything, so.
Yeah, no, true. They're going to trade him too. So, but the interesting thing, I think, with Bumgarner, I don't know what they'll get for him. But you mentioned his record's 1-4. It seems to me his record could be 1-15, and they would still get the same thing for him, whether he was that or 10-5. Because people are going to be trading for the postseason Madison Bumgarner, which they hope to see if they get him on their roster.
And
so,
he doesn't get run support from the Giants.
Absolutely not. He's on a bad team right now. So, I mean, you put him on a good team, he's still competitive as all hell, and he can still pitch. I mean, we saw him here on opening day against the Padres. He can still pitch. There's no question. Put a team behind him. I'd like to have him on my roster going down the stretch, I'll tell you that.
Does his home run hitting ability increase his chances of going to an NL team?
No.
Okay. Well, because he's a good hitter.
So what? So Zach Greinke.
That is not that bad of a question. Thomas, let's move on to number
Nobody
four.
Nobody judged your question.
But you guys dismissed
Hang on a second.
You
dismissed that was it. Really a dumb question.
You guys dismissed it like it was. Tom Brady's being quite the comedian these days, and I'm being serious. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but one of my favorite things on social media is when Tom Brady just randomly comments on random posts, like something funny, like a normal everyday comment, like looking good with a thumbs up emoji. So he's been all over the place, and he was on Jimmy Kimmel Live and was asked about not being the highest-paid quarterback in the league, even though he's the GOAT. Brady explained that his willingness to play for less is, quote, I think the thing I've always felt for me in my life, winning has been a priority, and my wife makes a lot of money. I'm a little smarter than you think. Actually, it's the salary cap, and you can only spend so much. The more one guy gets, it's less for others. For a competitive advantage standpoint, I like to get a lot of good players around me, end quote. So, Chris, is Tom Brady's unselfishness in a selfish world why the Patriots are always competitive?
Yes, it absolutely is. Probably the number one reason why they're as competitive as they are every single season is Tom Brady. And I honestly don't understand why more guys don't do the same thing that Tom Brady does. I mean, Tony, how much money is enough money? I mean, Tom Brady's obviously got enough, whether his wife was rich or not. It's smart for him to give a little of it back so that the Patriots can stay competitive. And I will also say this. One of the reasons that he's the GOAT is because he's allowed the Patriots to sign so many good players to play with him over the years so that he could win all these Super Bowls and be in a position to be the GOAT. So he's paying for that status, and I think it's well worth it.
Tony, what do you think?
He is paying for that status, literally.
Yeah.
Where most guys who get to the GOAT status that I can think of didn't have to pay money for it. And virtually that could be how it's perceived. But here's the deal. I think Tom Brady is brilliant for going about it the way he does. There's a reason why, as Chris said, the Patriots can go out and get guys like Randy Moss. They can bring in a Fred Taylor or a Corey Dillon. I mean, the list is really huge of the type of guys they've been able to bring in and add to their teams. That being said, I don't begrudge a guy for wanting to maximize as much money as he possibly can make. Tom Brady has the luxury of having a wife
yes.
that is
probably as rich as he is. And is that doing
it more? But even if you didn't have a wife that was as rich as you were, I mean, if you're making $12 million a year and you're willing to take $10 million, you're still going to be okay. And then your team can benefit. I really don't see why more guys don't do it. I know what you're saying. Get as much as you can, especially in a football world. But for Brady, I think he's been really smart.
And Brady plays quarterback, which is the most protected position on the field.
That's right.
The rest of these guys we're talking about, I don't know if that is really the case.
Like if they're wide receivers.
Wide receivers, running backs, anywhere other position really other than quarterback.
Yeah.
You can take those kind of risks. But I think for the most part, guys know that the window is short. And listen, not everybody knows you're going to play as long as Tom Brady does. It makes sense now because Tom Brady has played. How many years has he been in the league now?
It's
almost 20.
Yeah.
I know that. So
insane.
Most guys' career don't last that long. So the mindset is going in, I make as much as I possibly can because I know my window is short. This is like a one in every,
true,
I don't know, 200, 300, one in 1,000 player. Plays a 20-year career as long as he has.
At the highest level.
Brady's in a position to be able to do that, whereas most aren't.
I wonder if Marino, if he had to do it all again, would have given a bunch of money back so that his Miami teams could have been a little better around him.
Always comes back to the Dolphins.
No, it doesn't.
Just an example of a guy. He's on an island somewhere.
He's on an island somewhere. It's just an example of a guy who never won it. That's all.
Number three.
And the Dolphin sounder. Thank you. I saw a headline this morning, and it said NL Rookie of the Year candidates, and so I clicked to see where Fernando Tatis Jr. was, and I thought he was on the top of the list, but he wasn't. He was fourth on this list. Number one was Mets Rookie of the Month, Pete Alonso, then Diamondbacks Christian Walker, who actually made his debut in 2014, but still has rookie eligibility. Then you have Paul Verdugo from the Dodgers, and then you have Tatis Jr. I read Paul Goldschmidt, but yes, Alex Verdugo. Then Tatis Jr., who is fourth on the list. So, Tony, do you agree that Tatis is fourth on the NL Rookie of the Year list at this stage of the season?
It's early. It's tough to say. And I have to, you have to remind people that I know we get caught in our bubble here in San Diego of being so locked into a team that
I know I am.
Hasn't been good in a while, and they're playing good, so it's exciting. But this is a really good rookie class as of right now, and it's not. You named a lot of position players. There's some pitchers out there that
Chris
are
Paddock.
Rookies, Chris Paddock being one of them, that can make a strong case to be in the top, you know, four or five as well. So I'm not upset with Fernando Tatis Jr. being fourth. I probably would put him somewhere probably top three.
Okay.
But four is not a bad spot to be in right now.
Chris?
I'd probably have him a little higher, but I will caution everybody that's a huge Pete Alonso fan. last year's Rookie of the Month for April in the National League was Christian Villanueva. And he didn't exactly go on to win Rookie of the Year honor. So what you do in April doesn't mean exactly what's going to happen the rest of the way. I'd rather Fernando Tatis Jr. be at the top of the list in September than in April. But I do think that that list right there is something that's going to continue to fuel Chris Paddock. The fact that they're putting lists like this together and he's not included, I think the Tall Texan kind of uses that as a chip on his shoulder.
Tall Texan.
Yeah.
All right, number two.
Number two.
Bulls interim head coach Jim Boylan has become the permanent head coach for years to come because he reportedly agreed to a multi-year contract extension today. The Bulls promoted Boylan to head coach on December 3rd after firing Fred Hoiberg following a 5-19 start to the season. But you may remember, though, his interim tenure didn't start well because players were even considering staging a walkout on practice because of the, quote, military-style tactics he used. So, Chris, you are a resident Bulls fan. Do you think this is a good hire for the Bulls? And I think we already know.
I really don't. But, you know, those guys are all closer to the situation, obviously, than I am. So maybe they felt like he got it together and was able to forge a bond with this team going forward. I at least hope that's what happened. But it's hard to believe that a guy that won 17 games and lost about 40 is getting a big contract extension. And everybody thinks the Bulls are going to be great next year. I'd love to see them have a little more established and a more successful coach at the helm. But that's just my personal opinion. I'm trusting that the Bulls brass knows what they're doing. And ever since Michael Jordan left, they really haven't known what they're doing. So go figure.
Tony, what do you think?
I actually like it. I actually like it. I actually am one of those people that think the Bulls have a chance to be a good team in the Eastern Conference next year. They got a lot of young talent. And to me, a coach that goes from mutiny in the very beginning of the season makes it through the season. And when I got a chance to watch a few of those Bulls games towards the end, those guys genuinely seem like they like playing for him. They respect him, I think. He has their ear.
Maybe came in a little too hot.
He might have come in a little too hot. But clearly, by him getting through the season, based on the reports that were out there, I think that says a lot. Because I don't know if I've ever heard of anything like that happening that early in the season and a coach making it all the way to the end.
Yeah. That's a good point. Both great.
Number one.
I must make sure to say that. Concussions are a big concern in football, so much so, do you guys remember a couple years ago when 49ers first-round pick in 2010, Anthony Davis, offensive tackle, he like retired from the league because of concussion concerns?
I did.
I mean, we knew concussions was a big deal because they have a movie called
They have a movie called Concussion. what else can I do to... there was a guy who was a rookie who played 1 year for the 49ers. Can't remember his name. He was great. And then he retired as well due to concussion return or concerns. Well, Anthony Davis is back. He said, on January 24th, 2019, I read articles by three different sources saying there is a significant decrease in concussions in the NFL, down by 29% in the 2018 season. Excited to see that the changes you and your staff had made to the rules and the allowance of safer equipment to be worn has had a positive effect. Talk with his family, blah, 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 blah. So, Tony, would you be weary of him changing his mind again because he, if you're a 49er executive, because he is the 49ers player?
Would I be weary of him?
Would you bring him in just for him to change his mind after taking a big hit?
I mean, I don't see it being a high risk at all. I mean,
he was pretty good.
You bring in guys all the time who have way higher risk injury concern, and you give those guys roster spots. If he's committed to playing again, I think you give him a shot. I don't think you sign him to like a long-term deal and you bring him in like that. But certainly, a guy that was productive on the field before he retired, you know, football teams are always looking for guys who can play. So if he's willing to get back out there, give him a shot.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Tony. I do. I think the more interesting part of that story is the fact that the NFL is out with a report now that says that concussions were down by 29% last year, as if the NFL is trying to convince all of us that the league is getting safer and safer and safer. And I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I mean, the hits are harder. The contact is more fierce. There's more rules. There's more fines. There's more suspensions. But it doesn't mean that guys aren't still handing out humongous hits and head-to-head hits, game in and game out. So I find it a little bit questionable that concussions are truly down 29%. I don't know that I would necessarily feel safer. I would just have to take my chances if I want to play football. That's all.
All right. That's it for the week of the Big Five.
That's all for the Big Five from Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, good stuff on the Big Five today, Scraby. I thought you made that through very nicely today.
Oh, thank you.
You're on Friday. It must be a Friday.
You know what's funny?
Like in a weekend mood.
Whenever I feel like I had a bad Big Five, you guys always compliment me. Yeah.
Well, you're very clutch. You come back and perform well in the, you know,
Let's
with the pressure
on. Let's
not
go too far, Chris. Let's go too far.
Thank you very much.
Fair point.
Thank you very much.
Let me take that back. Tony Gwynn Jr. is making his 2019 television debut tonight as part of the broadcast on Fox Sports San Diego. So he is going to be checking out and getting ready for that. It's a start of a huge weekend for the Gwynn and Chris show, right? I mean, we've got Tony on TV tonight, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, we've got, I believe, one of us throwing out the first pitch before the Mets-Padres game.
I mean...
I think it's me.
It's you.
Yeah,
it's you.
It's me.
It's you.
We saw my act last year.
I'm still scared to say it's me. But
and I saw it on Facebook, so I'm like, are we not supposed to say anything? Oh, gosh.
It must be true. It must be true if it's on Facebook. But anyway, so we got a big week, but Tony's got TV. And that means you're going to be doing TV Monday when I'm throwing out the first pitch.
That does mean that.
Oh,
that
my
That does
goodness.
Mean that. Just get it to the plate.
I'll be on the field. I'll be on the field.
Scraby.
Don't look as bad as 50 Cent. That's all I'm saying.
No, I can't. I don't think
he
I can
He was another
do that.
Lefty, too.
I know he was a lefty, too. Believe me, every bad throw that has ever happened from the mound has gone through my head in the last 24 hours. I've seen them all.
I can relate.
So, anyway, great weekend coming up. Tony, have a good time on TV.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.